You know, my dad said, men don't cry. But how many know that when God gets a hold of us, it just can't contain it, folks. Even as hard as, you know, I look at Jesse, you know, I see all the outer appearances of Jesse, and I'm like, man, this is a hardcore dude. But how many know that that's what God is able to do to us, folks? It's amazing. That's God's work. Where he brings, amen, I told you, when I tell you I was very hard, listen, I was very hard because my dad told me, you don't cry. And if you cry, I'm going to beat you more until you stop crying. I'm like, so when am I supposed to stop crying? Amen? But, you know, so I was raised and it was like God just poured out and I was crying. I said, God, why am I crying? But that's God, folks. That's what God is able to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, we're going to read verses 5 through 7. Give you a few seconds there. A sermon entitled, Keep Fanning the Flames. Keep Fanning the Flames. 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The Word of God says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelled first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. A sermon entitled, Keep Fanning the Flames. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you for everything you do, God. Help us. Be with us, God, as we trust in you for all things. In all things, God. Let us be reminded of everything that has been done upon our lives. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, see, in our lives, we know that God wants to do different things. And one of those things that God wants to do is that you and I burn, amen, for him. In other words, that you would be on fire. So how do you and I tonight keep that fire burning? Because how many know that when a wood goes in, it only lasts for a certain time. And then, that fire, if you're not careful, it will begin to burn out. So you have to continually, put more and more. You have to fan. You have to listen. You have to keep that fire going. How do you and I tonight stay away from those things that want to put that fire out? How can you and I tonight continue to find flames? That God has started a fire that God has started in our lives. Paul here in our text, he is writing to, a young man, Timothy. He is writing to encourage him to continue, fanning those flames because Paul, is aware that there are things that are now where they were not before, they might now be starting to creep into Timothy's life. And these things, if not placed or not checked, they can smother the flame and choke the fire out. See, when God starts a fire in us, can I tell you, you don't want that fire to burn out. When God starts a fire in you, we say things like, there's no way, how many times have we ever heard it? There's no way that I'll ever go back to who I was before. I'll never go back to who I was. I'm going to stay right here, as close to Jesus as possible. And just as you say those things, if you and I are not careful, little by little, amen, what we begin to do is we begin to slip. A slip here, a slip there. By the time you know it, you've already slipped yourself a little further out. And little by little, even though the fire might still be burning, can I tell you, it's not the same fire that was burning in our lives. See, what are some of the things tonight that can put the fire out? He talks about fear. There are sometimes, that all the possibility, listen to me, it's not the devil that we fear, but it's the possibilities of what God has for you and I that put fear in our lives. Those are the things that scare us. God, am I going to be able? God, I don't know if I can do this. God, what can? And then fear tends to creep in. The fear of the unknown. See, when God tonight is in control, we don't have to know what's coming next. How many know that? See, we want to know everything. That's the personalities that you and I have. And not knowing the things cause you and I, to back ourselves into some unfamiliar territories. The fear of failure. We get afraid when we cannot do what God is asking us to do. We begin to get concerned. What are other people going to begin to say if I fall flat on my face? You know, it's so ironic that, you know, God always drops jewels, especially when I'm about to preach something. God automatically drops different things. There's a young man that my son knows. And he was talking to him, even today, his friend calls him and says, I messed up. How many know that all of us are going to mess up? But what he said is what caused, and it got my attention, and I said, it's going to get, I'm going to place this because it goes right with my sermon. See, he said, what are people going to say if they know that I fell? He was more concerned about what other people are going to say than the salvation that he so needs more in his life, folks. What are they going to think about my life? If I fall flat on my face, what are they going to say? Next, there is the fear of repercussion. What's going to happen if I continue in God's course, God's plans, God's purpose? How is my life going to be altered? Can I tell you, folks? I've gone, amen, from California to, amen, to Texas, to Kansas City, back to Texas, amen, up to Dallas, and now, amen, here to Colorado, go Steelers, amen. And as I went through all those things, can I tell you, folks, amen, there is a fear every single time. It doesn't get easier. It never gets to the point to where you say, man, this was the easy thing. It's always something complicated. It's always something, amen, because it is a life-altering experience, amen. When my wife and I said, yes, amen, it changed the course of our lives. It changed everything. Now, amen, it was just going to be her and I. It was not going to be, amen, my kids, amen, where I dragged them along everywhere I went. Now, amen, it was just going to be her and I. No grandkids. It altered and it affected. Listen, it changed everything the way we see the things of God. Listen, but one thing it did not do or stop was me continually doing the will of God. See, all these things might happen. All these things might alter. All these things might affect. But what Paul is trying to tell Timothy is, Timothy, you cannot be afraid, amen. You have to continue to do the will of God for your life. Secondly, being content. To be content of where you and I are at. Many of times, amen, every single one of us will find ourselves content just to say, amen, I am content to just be a Christian. I'm not going to be moving forward. I'm not going to be moving backwards. I'm just content. Listen, can I tell you, when you and I are there in a place of contentment, we are in a place where you and I, amen, are in actually a place of danger. Because if we are not moving forward, amen, then what we're doing is we're moving backwards. You're content. See, knowledge, can I tell you, knowledge is man's worst weapon. Or it can be our best weapon. We begin to say things like, I'm okay. How many know that sometimes we just say that out of habit and we're really not okay? I can see something really going on, oh, but I'm okay. I can see that something is bothering you, but I'm okay. I don't have to do more because I'm okay. You're content with who you are. Let me ask you a question. Can you do more or are you okay? Are you content or can you do more? See, that's when you and I are content with what we know. I'm not as bad as I used to be. I'm not as bad as. Listen, how many know that? Listen, folks. When we begin to say, I'm not as bad as. We're in a troubled place. Because we know we're bad, but we're, amen, gauging ourselves in the badness of our lives, of how bad we are. I'm bad, and I know it, but I'm not as bad as. That's trouble, folks. I'm happy right where I'm at. You say things like, there's no more room for growth. How many know that there's always room for growth? You say things like, I'm already at the top. You say things like, there's no more room. See, that's when you and I are content. When you and I are content, we don't want to move. We say things like, I'm good. Thirdly, other Christians put out the fire. See, some of God's own people, amen, they work for the fire department. Amen. Listen, folks, some of God's own people, they work for the local fire department. I'm not talking literally. They are the ones that put the fire out the most. They are the ones, that work to put out everybody's fire. We got negative Christians. They can always spot the worst in everybody else, in every situation. They're always opposed to everything that we want to do, no matter what. Let's do this. That's not going to work. Let's do here. Let's go there. Nope, it's not going to. And everything that we want to do, folks, they are the ones that always speak, against not doing anything. Scared Christians put out the fire. They can give you all the reasons why we should never do anything. See, they like as a contentment. They like where they are, and they don't want to change. They don't accept change. Their lack of faith in Christ tells them that what we want to do is not going to work. We haven't even done it, but they will tell you it's not going to work. Content Christians. They're happy just to, be in the status quo. Happy with just things as they are. They don't welcome changes or challenges or resistances. They want things to flow as they've always flowed. You know, one of the things that a new pastor, when we take over a church, is told is don't go in there and make drastic changes within the first 6 months. You know why? Because people were used to doing things like they were used to doing. And if you bring a drastic change, it can backfire on you. You know, I've made changes here and there. And can I tell you, I'm not going to make drastic changes. But there are things that do need to change. But see, when we're content Christians, we just want things to continue flowing as they've always flowed. You know, when I said street preach on Saturday, I saw people's faces like, what? And that's not a drastic change, folks. But I saw it like, what? See, as I come to a close tonight, amen, we're gonna go enjoy the Steelers' victory that they play tomorrow. See, in closing, what can you and I tonight do to continue to fan the flame that God has started in our lives? Firstly, you need to get into God's word. If the only time you read your Bible is when I tell you, let's read this portion of scripture, and you're like, man, that's great. Man, I got my reading for the whole month. You need to get into your personal time with God. See, you and I have to read the Bible. You have to let God speak to you through his word. You have to, amen, let God encourage and challenge you. Secondly, you got to memorize the Bible. Challenge each other, amen. Get there, write down verses on pieces of sticky, amen, that you are able to memorize the word of God. Amen. You have to be able to put God's voice deep within your heart. That when you are in a time, amen, of encouragement, you will find it because it's already actively, amen, in your life. Thirdly, you have to live the Bible. As you and I, amen, begin to read God's word, now we have to begin to live it. That might be that you are going to go against the grain, folks. Can I tell you, not everybody, amen, not everybody loves Jesus. Amen? Not everybody is as excited as you are that you gave your life to Christ. Amen. Not everybody is there, amen, throwing a party for you. You got to go against the grain because there are people that are purposely and actively going against, amen, you continually living for God every day of your life. You got to go against the grain and not just always take the path of least resistance. You got to be a rebel for Christ. Amen? You have to be a rebel for Jesus. You are going to have to live your life for Jesus. You got to be in prayer. Prayer is talking to God. Can I tell you, when was the last time you and God had a good conversation? You got to hold on to God. See, when the flames are running low, how many know you got to put more wood? So how do you get more wood for your spirit? You have to find the flames again and put it in there once again, folks. See, that's when you grab hold of God and you cry out to him. you draw close to God, the more you pray, the closer that your life will be with God. You got to get in church. If you look at your life, when you are going up and down, it's probably because, there's a lack. When you are faithfully coming to church, how many know that you can see a big difference in a person's life? Amen? But can I tell you, at the same time, you will see and you can spot and you can actually point out why they're doing this. So you got to make friends within the church. You got to take the initiative to get involved in the local church. You got to commit yourself, and you have to become a dreamer. What are the dreams that you have dreamed of? Can I tell you? One of the things that we used to do when, listen, the Killeen Church within a revival. And one of the things that we used to do is we used to say to another, when you get launched out, I'm going to go and preach for you. Yeah, when I get launched out, I'm going to go and preach for you. When I get launched out, I'm going to go and preach for you. When I go do this, I want to be invited. Invite me. I want to preach for you. And can I tell you, that had an aspiration there in all the young men in Christ that were getting saved. Because we had a dream. We had an ambition. We saw, a greater possibility that could be accomplished and done. Everybody, would come and at different times, I want to get sent out. I want to be able to do something greater for God. That kept the fire going, folks. See, that's what happens when we jump into the things that can be done and we accomplish them together. See, tonight, you can live your life depending on God, relying on God, and trusting in God. It can be done. And your fire does not have to burn out. Can I tell you, the only person that can plant, that can put the fire out, you can't blame your wife. You can't blame your husband. You can't blame your kids. You can't blame anybody else. The only person that is going to allow that fire to burn out is you. You. Because we know what needs to be done. Now we just have to get it done. How many know that? And if you come to me and say, Pastor, I think the fire is out, I'm going to begin to ask you some questions. You know? I don't know who sang it, but this is probably what God is asking you. What have you done for me lately? Amen? Because if we are not doing anything for God, then who are we doing it for? That thing, Anton, does it still say Christian Church in the back? In the back, on the door, it still says Christian Church? So that's what we are, folks. Right? We are a Christian church. We know what needs to be done. Now let's get it done. And can I tell you, at the end of the day, you will fully find a satisfied soul. You will. A soul lacking nothing. Because when the fire is burning, there's nothing. You always want to do something. You just don't want to sit still. God, what can I do? God, who can I speak to? God, listen, that's the way the people were there in Killeen. We went from, when we got into the church, we had about 75 people, amen. Within a year or so, we had almost 200 and something people in the church. Because everybody said, what can I do? Is there anything that I can do? And can I tell you, when all came together, amen, there was a flow and fire started. And that fire doesn't have to burn out. Can I tell you, you don't have to let that fire burn out. That fire can burn out of control in your life. That fire can continue to burn. You, by the actions that we take, are either going to allow the fire to continue burning or to die down. Let's keep fanning the flames, amen. If I can have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. If you're in this place and you're not saved, if you're in this place and you're backslidden and you want to surrender your life to God, can I tell you tonight, God is our hope tonight. God is our hope. You're here in this place and you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to give your life to Christ. Pastor, that's me. Pastor, I want to surrender my life. That's you. You want to give Jesus your life tonight. Would you simply do one thing? Would you lift up your hand? All I want to do is pray for you. Amen. A sermon entitled, Fanning the Flame. See, there's things in our life, folks, that begin to choke out the Word of God in our lives. In other words, the fire begins to burn down. And tonight, you're not backslidden, but the fire is not the same. You're not away from God, but the fire is just burning. It's just there. And you recognize yourself. Listen, I didn't write this sermon specifically for one person, but maybe God is speaking to you tonight. The fire is not burning like it burned before. And you want to allow God to, fan the flames in your life, that fire, amen, can burn once again and burn, amen, brightly. If that's you, amen, I want to give you first the opportunity. Listen, there's no shame in your game. You want to give God that opportunity to fan the flames in your life. Why don't you stand and come to the altar first? Why don't you stand tonight and you come to the altar and you allow God to help you? There's no shame. Allow God to work in your life. God, I want this fire to burn, God. God, I want this fire, amen, to burn. God, let me yearn for you. Maybe tonight you can be an encouragement for people's lives. Pastor, I will be that person that will help fan the flame to keep that fire going in people's lives. That's you. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God. Come, lay hold of God. Each and every one of us, we have a part, amen, in the work of God. That's why the Bible says, amen, that we are in the body of Christ. See, when that fire begins to die down, we are in a very dangerous position, folks. We need to allow God, amen, to put another piece of wood and that fire can start again. Listen, the fire's already there, folks. You just need to allow that fire to grow in your life once again. God, this is what I want to do. God, this is what I need in my life. God, I don't just want to go through the motions of my salvation. See, we had dreams, folks. We had aspirations. We had desires. When I get launched out, I'll go for you, Jesus. When I get launched out, Jesus, I'll be able to do this. See, that fire kept going, folks, because we did not just settle for the status quo. We did not just settle for things as they were. We said, God, we are going to live our lives for you, God. We are going to continue doing things for you, God. God, we're not just going to be in a place where that fire is going to die out. You know, I've been blessed to be able to go to different places all over the world. And can I tell you, I don't take any place that I go to lightly, because I know that it's a blessing of God. And everywhere that I go, can I tell you, I go as a representative of y'all. Together we go. You might not physically be there, but everything that we did together allowed one person to go. And it's a joy when I represent you. And I brag about you. And when people speak, I speak about you. You know why? Because I see a fire. Sometimes we can be in a dangerous position if we just get settled in. See, when my wife and I took the church, I just didn't want to settle in, get comfortable. Jesse, I immediately... Let's go to outreach. Let's change the outreach course. Instead of just going to the Walmart, let's go to the neighborhoods. Let's go talk to people. Because at the Walmart, listen, at the Walmart, you can do the blitz and everything else, and that has its purpose. But when you're there, now you're shopping for yourself. Amen? You're there. You're looking for you. I need dishwashing soap. I need this. I need that. And you... And we forget about the things of God. But when we are face to face and you knock on somebody's door and they open the door and you're like, I want to invite you out and I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. Amen? That changes everything. Amen? That changes everything. Let's let that fire burn. Amen. Let's let that fire burn. Don't let that fire die out. Jesse, won't you close us in prayer? Amen. God bless you tonight.